All right, thank you, Brother Shepherd. Open your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Well, it's always a joy to be here at Island Ford Baptist Church with Brother Shepherd and also when Brother Hall was pastoring.
Amen.
And to hear these men of God preach and also these missionaries give the burden of their heart.
Yes.
And these days are always days of encouragement and help to us in these last days.
Yes, sir.
So thank the Lord for the day, the safe journey, and the blessed privilege to be here to worship and also to hear from the Lord.
Yes.
I'm going to read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and verses 17 down through verse 22. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 17 down through verse 22. Mark, chapter 10, verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, fraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him.
Amen.
And said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." He was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You may be seated. Now this story of this rich young ruler is found in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Well, there's a statement made in Mark's Gospel that's not made in Matthew and Luke's Gospel. And, of course, there are some statements made in Matthew and Luke that's not made in this portion. Well, there's a statement made here that's not made in Matthew or Luke, and it's found in verse 21. The Bible said, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him."
Yes, sir.
So I want to use that and preach tonight for a few moments on he went away with Jesus loving him. A lot of folks have done that in the past. Some folks are doing that now. And others will continue to do that. He went away with Jesus loving him. Let me make a statement before going any further. People don't go to heaven because Jesus loves them.
Right.
Now, don't misunderstand that statement.
Right.
The Lord loves everybody.
Sure
he loves the world.
Sure.
But just because a Jesus loves sinners doesn't guarantee them they'll go to heaven.
Right.
Just because he loves them. Now, the reason I make that statement is because that a lot of folks have heard of the love of God and the grace of God. But in spite of all that they have heard and they've learned and know, they still go away with Jesus loving them.
Yes, sir.
Well, let's look at this passage just for a few moments. As I already said, this story is found in three of the Gospels, but this statement's made here in Mark 10, verse 21. The most important thing in life is salvation.
Sure it is.
And that's why these men leave this part of the country, go into other parts of the world. It's because that the greatest need in the life of any individual is being saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Now, salvation is more than religion.
Yeah.
Salvation is more than reformation.
Yeah.
Salvation is more than rehabilitation.
Right.
But salvation is regeneration.
Amen.
Now, man can get religion without God.
Yeah.
He can reform without God.
Yep.
He can get some rehabilitation to help without God. But it's one thing he'll never experience without God, and that is regeneration.
Amen.
Being saved, being born again by the Spirit of God. We're living in days of modernism, liberalism, ecumenicalism, religions, growing beliefs and bounds.
Yes.
But the greatest need in our day is the truth to be preached.
Amen.
And tell sinners exactly how it is,
yes,
in order to go to heaven.
Amen.
Because it's the most important thing in life.
Yes, sir.
I want to look first of all tonight at this passage. It's been preached from a lot. Somebody said, well, you never say anything new. Well, you're not going to say anything new if you preach the Bible.
Right.
See, a lot of folks got the ideal that I came up on something that nobody ever saw before. And I'm preaching something that nobody's ever preached before. Well, there's nothing original with me when it comes to preaching the Bible.
Amen.
Because what I preach, the old-time preachers preached it before I got here.
That's right.
And when I'm gone, there'll be others preaching it when I'm gone.
Amen.
But I want to say to you that it'll stand when the world's on fire.
Amen.
The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, and it will accomplish that pleases the,
yes,
Lord.
Amen.
We're going to look first of all tonight at this man's goodness. Now, when I read that, I'm talking about his goodness.
Right.
What he thought was good enough,
right,
for him to go to heaven. Well, there's a lot of folks that's got that philosophy of life. And that is that I haven't done this, I haven't done that.
Yep.
They used to sing a song, if anybody makes it, Lord, surely I will. If working and praying has a reward, then one day I'll meet my dear Lord. But it's not that way.
Right.
It's not working and praying, but it's simply doing what the Lord said.
That's right.
Now, when you think about this rich young ruler, somebody said, and I've heard it preached and I've read books, he had good manners.
Yes, sir.
He said, good master. He also came and was running and kneeling, so it seemed like he was kind of sincere.
Right.
I think he really wanted to go to heaven.
Yes, sir.
But he wanted to go on his terms.
Right.
He wanted to go the way he wanted to go.
Right.
And there are a lot of folks that, you know, really want to go to heaven, but they want to go to heaven, in other words, on their terms and their way and not God's
right
way.
Right.
So let's look first of all at verse 20 at this man's goodness. Now, our Lord said to him in this verse 19, or verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, the Lord said, keep the commandments. In verse 20, he said to the master, the Lord, these things have I kept from my youth up. Now, the Lord didn't say you haven't. The Lord didn't say that's not true.
Right.
For the Lord knew that man, and that man, the statement he made was true. In other words, in himself, as far as of being good, a good moral man, he was that. And he came to the Lord, but the Lord was not impressed by his goodness.
Right.
And the Lord wasn't flattered by his politeness.
Right.
But the Lord gave him the truth. For truth will make men free.
Amen.
Our Lord said that, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
If the truth makes you free, it'll make you free indeed.
Amen.
Well, let's look at these verses now right here in the Bible. This young man was not guilty of adultery. You say, how you know? He said he wasn't.
Right.
And our Lord didn't say that's not true.
Yep.
So he wasn't guilty of adultery. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of folks can make that statement. Young people, even those maybe up in years, I have not committed adultery. I'm not guilty of adultery. And it's wonderful when that statement can be made.
Right.
So our Lord didn't say he was guilty. The Lord knew him, and the man said, I am not guilty of adultery, so he had a good quality there.
Right.
I'm not guilty of adultery. And then also he said, do not steal or kill. And the young man said, I kept all these my youth up. Our Lord didn't say, that's not true. You are a murderer. You have killed. No, he had not killed.
Right.
He was not a murderer.
Right.
So therefore, there's another, you could say, on his goodness. And what he considered his, in other words, right to go to heaven, have eternal life, there's another mark of his goodness.
Right.
He had not committed adultery. He had not killed. And then the Bible said, he said, I've kept all these things. So according to the Bible, he wasn't a thief.
Right.
Right.
See, the word said here in verse 19, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal. Well, Lord, I've kept all those from my youth up. So he wasn't guilty of adultery. He wasn't guilty of murder. He wasn't guilty of being a thief.
Right.
So it seems like when you look at him, he'd have made a real good Baptist in some Baptist churches. And a lot of Baptist preachers would have been so eager to take him in because of his qualities that he had.
Right.
See, the Bible tells us, and I said before, forget it, all our righteousness are filthy rags in God's sight. So even though he stood there clean in his own eyes, not an adulterer, not a murderer, not a thief, in the eyes of God, he was filthy, vile, dirty, unclean, wretched, and needed to be washed from his sins.
Amen.
So he said, I'm not a murderer, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a thief. And then also the Bible said, our Lord said, do not bear false witness. So really, you think about it, he was not guilty of lying. So look at this young man now. When you look at him, he is a fine young man. Is that not true?
Yes,
when you say that he's a fine young man?
Amen.
How many young men and women that might meet those other words, qualifications, in other words, and say to the Lord, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a murderer, I'm not a thief, I'm not a liar.
Right.
And by the way, the Word tells us that he was telling the truth as far as we know, and the Lord knew that. So also he is not guilty of defraud. In other words, he hadn't wronged. He'd been honest and upright, had not wronged anyone. Are you listening to me? And also the Bible said, he said, all these have I kept my youth up. And the Bible said, he honored thy father and thy mother. So when you read that, and the Lord said, keep the commandments. Somebody said, the Lord really mean what he said? Sure he meant what he said. And our Lord knew this young man, and the Lord knew who he was, how he was, and what he had done. And so he said, Lord, I've kept all these my youth up. I'm not guilty of any of these. But here's the thing about it. When you look at it, the Bible tells us he may not have been an adulterer, he may not have been a murderer, he may not have been a thief or a liar or dishonest, and even respected his parents. But he was lost.
Right.
Needed God.
Yes,
must be saved.
Right.
In order to have eternal life.
Right.
He ran to Jesus, kneeled before Jesus, respected Jesus as the master. But you know what our Lord said? I can't take you on those terms.
Right. Amen.
You can't have eternal life on those terms.
Right.
See, our Lord made it clear that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Now what I'm preaching tonight is old fashioned.
Yes, sir.
And what I'm preaching tonight is out of date. In a lot of religious circles, it's not politically correct.
Right.
But it is the Word of God.
Yes,
and it's time that we, individuals, pastors, evangelists, preachers, missionaries, and by the way, missionaries as well. Now let me just drop this on you. It might help you a little bit. I've been around some. And I've been in other parts of the world a little bit. Now, you can go to Mexico and ask those kids down there if they love Jesus, and they're going to say they love Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Because they've been raised in Catholicism.
Right.
They've been taught about Jesus.
Yes.
They've been taught to love Jesus. But let me say something to you. It takes more than that for a person to be saved and go to heaven.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So we see his goodness now. The Bible tells us that, in other words, he said, Lord, I've kept these from my youth up. But you know what was wrong with this young man? He had a God.
Right.
Oh, he had some goodness.
Yep.
But he had a God.
He did.
And therefore that God, he may not have been a guilty of some of the commandments, but he is guilty of the greatest of all commandments.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you read Matthew, I believe it is, or maybe Luke, the Lord said to this rich young ruler, in other words, I'll tell you what you do. You to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and love thy neighbor as thyself.
Right.
Now this man didn't love God.
Right.
And this man didn't love his neighbor.
Right.
If he'd loved his neighbors himself, he would have helped them with his possessions, his wealth, and his riches.
Sure.
When I look at this young man, I look at another rich man. found in the Gospels by the name of Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus?
Yes.
Now Zacchaeus was a publican, tax collector for the Roman government, despised and hated by those Jewish people. But somebody said it and said, well, I left here and preached this. Zacchaeus is on his journey collecting taxes. He run up on somebody that may have been crippled, and he's collecting taxes, and now they're walking. And he asked the question, what happened to you? Well, I met a man named Jesus, and he healed me.
Amen.
And he may run up on somebody else that had been blind, and therefore, when he ran up, came to them to collect taxes, they could see. He said, what happened to you? Well, I met a man named Jesus. Here's what I'm leading up to. The Bible said Zacchaeus heard of the Lord. Zacchaeus heard about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And that's why I'm an old-time preacher. I'm the old school, and I don't believe in dreams and visions. I believe in the preaching of the Word of God. I'm telling you, without the preaching of the Word, and I'm telling you, it's not the singing of the gospel, it's the preaching of the gospel that'll get men saved by the grace of God. So, okay, that'll be all right. I'm telling you the truth. This Bible says we're to preach the gospel, preach the word, and by the way, it says for men to do it and not women.
Right.
Amen. I always try to plug that crowd. They need to be hit.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, here in verse 21, let's look at this man's God. He had a God.
Yes, sir, he did.
Yes, he did. He had a God. Well, I was going to lead up to about old Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was rich too. Remember Zacchaeus was a rich man?
Yep.
He heard about the Lord. And the Bible said that he was the Lord was coming through Jericho. And Zacchaeus climbed up a tree. He wanted to see the Lord. Well, he was determined.
Right.
Amen. You got to be determined.
Right.
And also he desired to see the Lord, so he climbed up that tree, and the Lord came through Jericho. Here's what I like. It don't brand me now. The Lord knew where he's at.
That's right.
The Lord knew what he wanted.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord's going to see he got what he wanted.
Amen.
If you want salvation, you can have it.
Amen.
He won't force it on you. He won't push it on you. Amen. But he'll give it to you when you desire it and determined to have it.
Amen.
Here's what I'm leading up to. God, our Savior looked up at Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Old Zacchaeus came down.
Right.
Now somebody said, was Zacchaeus saved in the tree, halfway down the tree, or when he hit the ground? What difference does it make?
Right.
The main thing is the Lord went home with him.
Right.
And therefore we went home with him. Zacchaeus was saved by the grace of God. But here's what I'm leading up to. You know what Zacchaeus said? Here's the difference in Zacchaeus and this rich young ruler. Zacchaeus said, in other words, I'll sell half of my goods and give them to the poor.
Right.
The rich young ruler said, I'm not giving anything away.
Right.
I'm not getting rid of my wealth. I'm not giving my neighbor anything.
Right.
That is my God. That's what I live for. And I'm not about to repent and turn from it and come to Jesus.
Right.
He went away with Jesus loving him.
Right.
Now, as far as man's concerned, he's a good man.
Yep.
A respectable man. Honored his father and his mother. But now the Lord said, right here in these verses, Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest.
Yeah.
You know what it was? His God.
Right.
You know what his God was? His possession.
Right.
Now here, I want to leave this with you. I want to leave this with you. Don't you listen. The one thing he lacked was repenting, turning his back upon that, and coming to Jesus with all his heart.
Yes.
Let me make this statement. I trust you'll listen tonight. We need to tell it like it is. There's nothing worth going to hell for.
That's right.
Nothing. Popularity, fame, prestige, position, there's nothing worth going to hell for.
Right.
But a lot of folks have already gone there. Others are on their way, and others will go unless they're willing to repent and turn their back upon their God.
Right.
Now, repentance is kind of out of date.
Yeah.
Repentance is not a popular subject.
Right.
So repentance is a Bible subject.
Right.
And by the way, every Holy Ghost Spirit-filled preacher preaches repentance.
Amen.
If he denies it, belittles it, makes light of it, He is not filled or led by the Spirit of God. Well, you say you can't prove that. I can prove that. Oh, John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit of God, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I can prove it. Our Lord said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I can prove it. Simon Peter said, in other words, repent. And also Paul said, God called me to preach repentance toward God in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, repentance is not religion. Repentance is not reformation. Repentance is not rehabilitation. Repentance is a change of mind about yourself, about your sins, and about your God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you know, a lot of folks got the idea that, in other words, you can be saved in a coma. You can't be saved in a coma. I went down to the hospital, he said, and the man was in a coma, and I said, if you're going to trust Jesus, squeeze my hand. Well, that's not salvation.
Right.
You've got to be rational.
Right.
You've got to be alert. You can say amen.
Amen.
Repentance is a change of mind. Somebody said, oh, no, you believe with your heart. You're not going to believe with your heart till you change your mind.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, you believe with your mind. Somebody said, no, you believe with your heart. By the way, that heart in the Bible, it's not talking about that muscle that pumps your blood.
Right.
But I'm saying to you tonight, we are lacking in some areas and some places in this day of liberalism, modernism, and easy believism, in preaching the whole counsel of God and telling sinners exactly what they must do in order to be saved.
Amen.
You know what our Lord said to this rich young ruler? Sell what you have and give to the poor. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You cannot have treasure you love here more than you got in heaven.
That's right.
Now, you better listen to me.
Yes, sir.
He couldn't hang on to his treasure here. Our Lord said, you can have treasure in heaven. But the only way you're going to have that treasure in heaven is turn your back upon your possessions, your wealth, and then you can have treasure in heaven.
Right.
Am I telling it right?
Yes, sir.
I think that folks need to be reminded, and our minds need to be stirred up afresh and anew, that we're living in days when people are being told things that are contrary to the way of salvation.
Right, exactly.
Did you know that our Lord could have got a profession that day?
Sure he could.
Did you know our Lord could have got a follower that day?
Yep.
Did you know that? He could have went away from the Lord, and the Lord could have said, you all right, young man, if anybody makes it, Lord, surely you will. But our Lord said, no, no. You've got to come on my terms and not your terms. And really our Lord was saying to him, you must repent and turn from your God in order to go to heaven. You remember when Paul went to Thessalonica? Remember when he went to Thessalonica? He preached four Sabbaths. And you know what he preached? He preached repentance. You know what happened? The Bible said those folks were given idolatry. And the Bible said they turned to God from their idols to serve the true and the living God. That's repentance. All right, we've seen his goodness. Would you say he's a pretty good fellow? Would you say that most folks would have said, we're glad to have you?
Yep.
We're so glad that you've come and decided to join up. What are we going to do, first of all, is make a deacon out of you. Because you already got the qualifications, you know. You haven't done this, you haven't done that. Now, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm just telling the truth. Do you know what caused this young man to go away? Can I tell you? Pride.
That's right.
Did you know there are more people in hell tonight because of pride than anything else?
Yes, sir. I believe that's right.
Pride goeth before destruction. The Lord resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble.
Amen.
You know what caused the devil to get cast out of heaven? Pride.
Amen.
Yeah, you know that. I read in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
You mean you read in the Bible how the anointed cherub became the devil? Yeah, I read in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
The Bible said that pride was found in him.
Yep.
And he was proud and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm tired of being a creature. I'm going to be like the Creator.
Yep.
I'm tired of being a servant. I'm going to become a sovereign. I'm going to exalt my throne above God's throne and be like the Most High.
Right.
God said, you got another thought coming.
Right.
And cast him out of heaven.
Right.
Our Lord said, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Now, I'll run this by you. It'll help a lot of folks. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels,
right,
and
right,
not for human souls.
Right, right.
So tell the Calvinists we said so. Amen.
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 Is that not true?
That is true?
Sometimes I preach a little sermon called The Devil is the Blame. Now, he's not to blame for everything, but there are some things he's to blame for. Did you know that? He is to blame for the fall of man. He's the cause for the fall of man.
Right.
If the devil had not come down to Eden, it would not have failed. And also, he's the reason for hell.
Yeah.
God didn't prepare hell for anybody else but the devil and his angels.
Right.
So this rich young ruler, pride has robbed people of eternal life. He went away with Jesus loving him.
Yes.
Now, if we could ever get that across to people, only the Holy Ghost can do it. That Jesus loves sinners. That Jesus died in our place.
Yes, sir.
That the Lord died in our stead.
Amen.
But just because Jesus loves you doesn't mean you're going to heaven.
Right.
He loves the world.
Yes, sir.
But a lot of folks in the world left it without God.
Yep.
See, a lot of folks got the idea of, somebody said, you oughtn't to call names. Well, I won't tonight. I'll just kind of not say anything about that. But a lot of all these fellows nowadays talking about the goodness in man.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. God loves you. Well, he does. But you got to repent.
Amen.
I'm going to give you this and I'm through. We saw his goodness. We seen his God. Now, let me give you this. He went away. Say, you reckon he ever got saved? According to the Bible, he didn't. You think maybe he did? Well, I believe maybe if he had, the Lord may have put it in there to let us know that he got in. So he went away, wouldn't repent, wouldn't change his mind. Amen. And here's the warning Jesus gave, and I read it and I'm through. Here it is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and look at it in verse 23 through 27. The Bible said, and Jesus looking around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God.
Right.
Now those disciples are observing all of this.
Yep.
You reckon those disciples would have accepted that fellow pretty eagerly? You reckon they would have accepted him?
Yeah.
Let's just read on. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God?
Amen.
It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. A lot of controversy on that verse.
Yeah.
We're not going to deal with that controversy tonight. In verse 26, the Bible said, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved?
Right.
Now notice. And Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God.
Amen.
For with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And that's true. The Lord can save anybody.
Amen.
The Lord can save everybody.
Amen.
That will come on His terms.
Amen.
Repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, I read that passage a lot. Mark's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel. But this verse jumped out at me. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. But just because he loved him, He couldn't let him in. And just because he loved him, he couldn't give him eternal life. He had to get rid of that thing that he meant more to him than salvation.
Yes, right.
Can I say something to you tonight? I don't know you, but you know who you are. You know you need. Can I say something to you? There's nothing worth going to hell for.
Amen.
Another thing is, you'll never come to Jesus until you want him more than life.
That's right.
I believe that. And that's what you call Holy Ghost conviction.
Right.
That's what you call, in other words, being condemned
yep.
in the eyes of God.
Yes.
Well, let me give you this, and I'll be through. I've heard people say it, and I don't want to be too critical about it, but I've heard people say, when I got saved, I can tell you exactly what time it was.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. If that's true, I guess it could be true. When I got saved, it was 5 minutes and 2 seconds after 9. Now, you've heard people say, when I got saved, I know exactly when I got saved. In other words, it was 9 o'clock. When I got saved, and I didn't have my mind on time. Had my mind on eternity.
Amen.
And if you ask me what time it was exactly when I got converted on a Sunday afternoon, I couldn't tell you.
Right.
But I'm saved.
Right. Amen.
And I'm on my way to heaven.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. See, I was there when it happened,
yeah.
and I guess I ought to know.
Amen.
He went away loving. He went away with Jesus loving him. Come on, Brother Shepherd. How we need to repeat it over and over again. Salvation is not what man does for God. It's what God does for man.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, that's old-fashioned. That's kind of out of date, but it's still true.